Hello and welcome to Jibe Talkin', the Volvo Sailing Podcast. I'm Guy Swindles and this week we're all over the place. No change there then, I hear you cry, as we catch up with Russell Coutts in Auckland, China's Gore Chan in France, where we also find South Africa's Mike Baminter. We're with the Volvo Ocean Race CEO Knut Frostat in Dublin and with the Puma Moth Worlds in Dubai. I have to say our broadcast dates worked against us a bit this week, with Groupama 3's Jules Verne Challenge and the Louis Vuitton Trophy in Auckland both coming to a conclusion after we go to air, which at least brings us nicely to the Volvo Sailing Podcast news headlines. After a difficult trip, Frank Camas and Groupama 3 should take the Jules Verne Trophy for the fastest trans-global crossing on Saturday, bearing breakdowns. We're hoping to talk to Frank in our next programme. The semi-finalists have been decided for the Louis Vuitton Trophy in Auckland. Emirates Team New Zealand face Azura, while Mascalzone Latino take on Artemis. Just 14 boats will be in the Dominican Republic for the Rolex Far 40 Worlds next month. And the course for the next Volvo Ocean Race gets clearer, as Abu Dhabi and the Chinese city of Sanya join Alicante, Cape Town, Lisbon, Lorient and Galway as confirmed stopover ports for the 2011-2012 edition. OK, now it's off to Auckland, where Russell Coutts brought the America's Cup trophy for a goodwill visit to the potential America's Cup teams racing in the Louis Vuitton trophy. He talked to the voice of New Zealand sailing, Peter Montgomery.
Russell Coutts, greetings. Why have you come to New Zealand?
Oh, just come back here just to, sort of iron out a few things that needed to be done with our family stuff, and also take the opportunity while the Louis Vuitton series is on to meet some of the teams and discuss the future with them.
It's great that you're getting input from other interested parties, but in the end, as we know, and you would well know too, after winning it in 95, there may be different opinion from different prospective challengers, and in the end you're going to have to make decisions. Can we say that the Cup will be held in the United States of America?
Well, that's certainly, Larry's intention is, I think we can probably even go further than that and say that if he gets the opportunity, he'd like to have it in San Francisco. A lot of things have got to be sorted out to be able to achieve that. Obviously, to create a village like what's here in Auckland or Valencia is a big project in itself. And in the US, it's not like operating in Spain. There's a whole lot of environmental issues, as there would be here. And resource consent issues and so forth to get cut through, but that process has started, and there's been up to six sites, I believe, identified in San Francisco that are potential sites. And there's also discussions going on with other cities because if it turns out that it's not possible to do it in San Francisco, obviously we can't just sit on our hands and let time go by, because it's going to take a while to get the venue side of things sorted.
San Diego wouldn't be bad, or Newport right up.
Oh, there's a lot of places. there's also Miami and others that, could potentially be pretty good venues. Los Angeles as well, So there's a whole lot of things to consider there. And, of course, one of the things Larry has committed to is independent management of all the on-the-water side of things. So trying to figure out what that means. And, for example, obviously, as you say, you can't let the process of identifying all the conceptual stuff be too much of a consensus thing that drags on and on and on. But I think it's important for the sport that, for example, once the conceptual side of things is presented to the teams, and there may be three or four or five different options on types of concepts and pricing and cost-cutting measures and so forth that are presented to then debate them to come up with a final concept. Once that's done, we think that for example, one method forward would be for us to step out of the next process, which would be to create a design rule for the boats, for example, which would ensure that process would be totally independent. Such things as we want to try and avoid race delays so that the boats should be able to race in 5 knots of wind and also race in 30 knots of wind. But that takes a lot of thinking to be able to achieve that, because you don't want to create a design rule that all of a sudden favours the defender, because, you know, perhaps the boats have got a race in light winds leading up to the America's Cup itself, and then, you know, in San Francisco it's pretty clear that the racing will take place in 20 to 25, maybe even 30 knots of wind. We also, of course, want to have boats that will be able to race in 30 knots of wind. You know, we think it's quite bizarre, and I think most of the America's Cup world agree that we have to call races off because there's, you know, 30 knots of wind. And you know, I think in the past, spectators have, and you know, even interested sailors have looked at that and thought, well, you know, there's 470 races or laser races going on in the same conditions. Why can't these guys that are meant to be at the top of their sport be out there racing? Mm-hmm. And so we've got to collectively somehow address and solve some of these problems so that we can go racing in such a way that, you know, that the commercial sponsors become re-convinced that it's a fair platform, and if they're making the investment in a team, that the team's got the same chances as anyone else in theory, you know, under the rules and so forth, of doing well and winning. Pretty much all that Larry Ellison's asking to develop a process like that is, should he then go and have all this independent management and create these systems, that should he lose the cup this next time, that he would once again enter into the game having a you know, racing under fair rules and a realistic chance of winning it back, you know. So, and I think that's pretty much where everyone is at the moment. They recognise that perhaps there were some mistakes made in the past. I'm sure that the commercial sponsors and the other interested parties that are looking to come back into the event, they're all looking to see what solutions will be created to create a set of fair rules and good rules that will hopefully enhance the event.
OK, off to Ireland next, where RTE's Marcus Connaughton caught up with Volvo Race CEO Knut Frostat and asked about the decision to finish the next race in Galway.
The decision was not coming lightly, for the reason that the competition was very, very hard and very tough. I mean, we had 34 cities originally bidding in Europe and 15 cities in the finals, and then to pick three cities from 15 very strong candidates was not very easy. And we looked at a lot of different options. When it comes to making the decision on Galway, we don't look at one single thing, because we look at an end result and we try to predict what the stopover is going to be like. And for us, the most important of all things is to make sure that we have a great event, that with a great attendance of lots of people, and they really enjoy being here. And I think we really got convinced that Galway will stage that event. And that comes from obviously experience. It comes from the efforts made by the people involved in the bidding, who did a great job, and it comes from the support the government has shown, and all the way up to the Prime Minister. And I think that is for us a good sign, and our experience always tells us that the more government support an effort like this has, the better it will be in the end. What can we expect when we come to Galway? I think the significant thing here is that Galway has been awarded the finish of the Volvo Ocean Race. And there's two very iconic ports in the race. It's the start and the finish. And everybody will remember the start and the finish. It's the first time in the history of since Volvo took over the race that the race is not finishing in Northern Europe or in Scandinavia. And that says a lot about Galway. It was a tough decision, and with all credit to Galway, because the finish is an event where people will travel to. Lots of people want to make it to the finish and join the big party. And the great thing is for the sailors is that this time in Galway they will be allowed to join the party, because after they've done the import race, they're not going to race anymore.
What about yourself? Do you miss sailing? Do you even get time to get in a bit of sailing nowadays? Because you're a former competitor in the race yourself and have a great understanding, obviously, of sailing.
Well, the truth is I don't get time anymore. I do miss it. I do miss it, but I think when you've been racing for that many years as I've been doing, you're 100% or nothing person, because you know that when you're out on the race course with a boat, you want to do well, And today, to do well in this kind of racing, that has to be your 100% focus. So you can't do it halfway or do it on your sort of spare day in the week. But I try to get a little bit of sailing in locally where we live now in Spain, but it's not much time for it. But I do miss it. I mean, I miss the closeness to the water and the special atmosphere, which is on these boats where you focus on the same thing and everybody have the same common goal. There's not really any conflicts and you separate yourself from the rest of the world, which is, I think, sometimes quite healthy. I mean, we know how the news are flooding in through our brains every day about negative things. Which are happening in the world, and although it's good to be aware of those things and support whatever way of improving things in the world, but also sometimes, you know, we're just human beings, and it's great to just be out on the water, and the only life you have to consider is to whether you sail fast enough.
As I said, Knut talking to Marcus Connaughton there, the producer of RTE's excellent Seascapes programme. An unashamed plug, I'm afraid. Now it's been announced Sanya will host a stopover in the next Volvo Ocean Race, so we thought it was high time we caught up with the only Chinese sailor ever to have sailed in the event before, Gao Chan. He was the media man on Green Dragon, but is currently based in France.
After last Volvo race, I have a rest. Give me some time of free time, and then I back my mini project. So end of last year, I've been to France for prepare for my mini boat, and right now I spent my Chinese New Year in China, and then right now I'm back to France again. In these days, every day I stay with my mini boat, prepare my boat, training, and doing something for the mini.
How is the project going? How is the training going?
It's really good. I'm training now. This time I've been here for 20 days, I've been training with other five or six guys, and every 2 weeks we have a concentrated force for 4 days, and they just go for training here, especially with other nice guys.
Is it good to be sailing again now after being the media man aboard Green Dragon?
Yes, that's interesting for. On board the Green Dragon is it's really interesting, but it's really hard job for me as a media man. A lot of things new for me. Hold the camera, report to the catch the moment, report to the report the story to the race committee. So now I'm back to. I can now every day I can hold a seat, I can helm in, so that's a little different, or much different.
Very different. Now,
yeah.
Now, Gord, obviously we're speaking on the day that Sanya has been announced as the Chinese stopover for the next Volvo Ocean Race. What do you make of that news?
I heard news, yes, it's really a great news for me. I'm really excited. Now the race were back to China again, it's good news also for the for local Sanya people, Hainan province people, all other part of Chinese people who like the sailing. I think it's really really great news for the Volvo race back to China again, and also it's the only stopover in Asia for the Volvo race.
I know you're very busy at the moment with your mini campaign, but do you see yourself getting back on board a Volvo 70 for the next race and going back to China?
Yes, it's really a big attraction for me. I think so. If I can have an opportunity, have a chance back to Volvo, on board Volvo and racing again for next time. So really, really, I cannot imagine how I'm feel excited about this things. Even though I'm preparing for a mini project.
Final question. Do you want to sail next time rather than be the cameraman?
Yes, that's really... I'm really forward to, really looking forward to for next time I can be really on board to hold the seat, hemming the veil from a different angle, from different view to be on board as a sailor on the Volvo race. So it'll be fantastic.
The youngest sailor on the last Volvo was South Africa's Mike Paminter, and he looks set to return for the next edition, as he tells Prime Media's Jeff Aliff.
Oh, unbelievably different. I mean, just the experience that I gained during that race was, I mean, it's you can't buy things like that, you know. And now we're preparing for the next race already. I mean, we're still a year and a half out before the start of the next race, and already I sort of in a way know what to expect. I mean, sure, some guys have done the race a lot more times than I have, but at least I've got, you know, one lap under the belt, and now thinking ahead towards, you know, designing the new boat and put in your ideas and what you thought worked and what didn't work on the previous boats, and how you can obviously, you know, prepare yourself as well better for the next race. So it's an unbelievable change in myself as a sailor and a person, and how I'm going to approach the next race.
Speaking of the next race, really exciting news from a South African point of view is your involvement. Groupama, the first French entry since 93-94. Frank Camas, a two-year deal has been signed by the team. Just tell us, how did it all come about that you got hooked up with him?
Well, when I was with Telefonica in the previous race, there was Laurent Pages, who was a French guy, who was with Telefonica, and he came across to Groupama, and he invited me along to come do some sailing with the guys, and I was here in December last year doing some sailing with them, and they've asked me to come back, and I'll be here until June, and then I go home for the Soccer World Cup, so I'm looking forward to that. And then I'll come back out here at the end of July, and we carry on training from there.
And coupled with the fact, Mike, that Lorient's been named recently as the new stopover, La Rochelle, of course, the last French port, it's a great boost for sailing in France. You're over there at the moment. It must be really nice for you to be part of all that excitement.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you can, just down the road from us, actually, I mean, literally 150 metres is where they're going to have the Volvo Village set up. And, you know, they've already started doing some earthworks there to get it all prepped and ready to go. And, you know, definitely that afternoon, everyone knew about it, and it's been in the press quite a lot, and I know we've had a few press releases here in France, so it's exciting news for Lorient, and, you know, to host such an event like that, and they're sailing crazy here. I mean, I'm looking out over the water at the moment, and there's a little race going on with these little mini boats, and it's a little one-man boat, and there's actually 15 of them on the water, and it must be about 6 degrees as well, so, I mean, they're crazy here about their sailing. They absolutely love it.
And the language, Mike, obviously you handled the Spanish well enough on the black boat. How's your French?
I've had three French lessons so far, and that's a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday night, we've got French for an hour and a half. There's a big group of us doing some French classes, so we'll get there. I mean, I've got more time now to learn French than I did to learn Spanish, so we'll get there.
And you also mentioned to me you had a two-hour gym session today coming off the back of your sailing this morning. Is that all part of the Volvo build-up, or is it just Mike Paminter staying in shape generally?
No, we've got a full-time trainer here. We've got our own personal gym. So I mean, we're in the gym most days. I mean, if we have a long sailing day, then we generally don't do a gym, or it's an optional gym, or definitely physio in the afternoon for anyone who needs it. But any day we're not sailing, we're in the gym. We're doing an hour and a half in the gym, a lot of like stability work and strength work, and you know, you get yourself prepared now and then get yourself into the mindset. And it's definitely helps you in the long run. You definitely notice the difference.
Mike, lastly, World Sport helped me with your contact details. And I sent them an email and I asked them for a number for Miguelito. And I was told it's not Miguelito, it's now Invictus. And apparently you're just as popular with the French girls as you were in Spain. So tell me about Invictus.
A lot of the female staff here have all watched the movie Invictus, and they all love the movie. And they seem to think that there's some resemblance between Matt Damon during the movie and myself, but I think it's more the fact that the accent kind of gets in. So they're making some jokes about that, but it's all a good laugh.
Okay, that's enough offshore stuff for the time being. Next, it's off to Dubai, which recently hosted the Puma Moth Worlds, and where we caught up with a member of the race committee, and indeed a competitor, the very busy Chris Graham.
Yeah, it was pretty good in the end, actually. It's not too bad at all. Puma really stepped up to the mark, so they did a really good job. And shame about the wind. It wasn't quite enough, but you can't make the wind come, can you?
Sadly, no. If someone had worked out how, it would have made sailing considerably easier in many places.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Now, you, as well as organising, weren't you competing as well?
Yeah, I was racing, so I was kind of had the balanced organisation and then try and do a bit of training in between.
How did the racing shape up, Chris?
Yeah, pretty good, actually. I sailed pretty well in the pre-worlds and not so good in the worlds. I would have liked it the other way around, but again, what can you do? I think it all got to me in the end a little bit.
Now, another Brit, though, did step up to the mark, Simon Payne. Was he the standout performer?
Yes, I was very, very consistent and depressingly fast, I think, is what someone put it the other day. Just see him sail off into the distance off the start line in most races. He sailed very well, especially in the air. I mean, most of the top 10 had a couple of pretty big results, and I think his worst was a 10th. And that was only because he capsized, I think, or something like that.
How many competitors did you have there, Chris?
44, I think, off the top of my head.
How does that compare to previous events?
That's pretty much the same as they had in the Gorge last year for the Worlds there, but in Weymouth they had 100, yeah. And I think in Australia next year they're looking like they're going to have 100 plus, 110, 120. So next year is going to be a big Worlds. And then Campione again, the year after that is going to be another big one. So the next couple are going to have a lot of boats there.
What was the interest like in the event there, Chris?
There was quite a lot of media interest, and we tried pretty hard, and Puma put their PR people into overdrive for it, so that they did a really good job and got quite a lot out of it, I think. In terms of spectators, it's always quite hard to get. I think that's something that sailing has to work on a little bit, get spectators on the water and watching and more involved somehow.
Particularly with moths, because they are such fun to watch.
Yeah, I think if we can get some more enclosed style racing in a harbour where the windward marks right near the harbour wall or something, then that, and a commentator is always good. Rowan Veal did a good job in the Gorge. He did some commentating while we were sailing a couple of the races, and all the locals appreciated that quite a lot.
Well, Chris, I'm glad it went so well. Thanks very much for telling us about it. What's next on the calendar for you and the moths?
I'm thinking about doing the Europeans in August. I might go to the British Nationals, but I've got to organise a bit of logistics and things. But the Europeans is pretty much the next goal, I think. And Silver Plana, it's going to be cold and windy, what I've heard. I've never been there, so we'll see.
Well, let's hope for the windy bit at least. Chris,
yeah, at least.
Thanks very much indeed for joining us.
No worries, Guy.
Okay, well, that's it for this week. Next time, we hope to have some reaction from Groupama 3's successful, so we hope, Jules Verne Challenge. Also hear from Auckland at the conclusion of the Louis Vuitton Trophy. And, of course, bringing you all the latest stopovers from the Volvo Ocean Race. In the meantime, remember to check in at regular intervals to www.volvooceanrace.org.